will serve me well. To get the full benefit of failure, you have to understand the reasons for it. First, there's a failure of skill. You have an idea in mind, but not the requisite skills to pull it off. This is the cruelest, crudest, most predictable form of failure. Your reach exceeds your grasp. In my case, it might involve having an insufficient vocabulary of movement, or not recognizing how the audience will read a particular gesture or move. It's no different for a composer trying to write a fugue without skill and counterpoint, or a writer constructing dialogue with a tin ear for how his characters speak. There's only one solution to this type of failure. Get to work. Develop the skills you need. Then there's failure of concept. You have a weak idea that doesn't hold up under your daily ministrations. You torment the idea, and instead of growing, it shrivels up. It could be a bad story idea, bad subject matter, bad casting, bad partners, bad timing. You scramble in the beginning to mask this fundamental error, hoping that maybe through guile and trickery you can redeem the work, but it catches up with you. Sow's ears tend to remain sow's ears. Get out while the getting's good. A third kind of failure is one of judgment. You leave something in the piece that should have been discarded, left on the cutting room floor. Perhaps you let your guard down for a moment and suspended your usual good judgment. Maybe you let someone else's judgment substitute for yours. Maybe you didn't want to hurt somebody's feelings. The only way to avoid this mistake is to remember at all times that you're the one who will be judged by the final product. The actor whose scene you want to cut isn't responsible for the whole film. You are. The friend who tells you she likes the 5-page description of a squirrel in the park doesn't have her name on the book jacket. You do. It's a hard mistake to avoid when you're starting out, but the sooner you demonstrate good judgment, the sooner people will give you the clout to exercise it. I don't mess up this way anymore. I'm willing to be regarded as a tyrant to keep my vision intact. I've auditioned 900 dancers in order to hire 4 of them. It takes a certain steeliness of character and an intense dislike of failure to tell 896 people that they are somehow lacking in your eyes. But I don't care if I torture casting agents and scouts and staff. If they send me 100 consecutive dancers who almost intrigue me but not quite, I'll tell them, get me more, get me different. I'll say I'm sorry for being so ornery, but I'm not really apologizing. Neither should you when it's your judgment on the line. The worst is failure of nerve. You have everything going for you except the guts to support your idea and explore the concept fully. The corrosive thought that you will look foolish holds you back from telling the truth. I wish I had a cure for this. All I have is the certainty of experience that looking foolish is good for you. It nourishes the spirit. You appreciate this more and more over the years, as the need to not look foolish fades with youth. Remember the centenarian who, when asked about the best part of living such a long life, replied, "No more peer pressure." There's failure through repetition. As a choreographer, I'm constantly forced to revisit my past. Repertory is the bread and butter of a choreographer. You have to repeat yourself to make a living. Painters don't have to get up in the morning and repaint Starry Night on commission in order to afford a new canvas. Saul Bellow doesn't have to retype Henderson the Rain King in order to get people to read his latest book. But choreographers create a dance, teach it to dancers in rehearsal, watch it being performed, and, if it's a success, get to teach it to new dancers so it can be performed again and again and again. It's wonderful that audiences love my old works and want to keep seeing them, but after a while I feel like Bruce Springsteen must when his fans demand to hear Born to Run at every concert. Repetition is a problem if it forces us to cling to our past successes. Constant reminders of the things that worked inhibit us from trying something bold and new. We lose sight of the fact that we weren't searching for a formula when we first did something great. We were in unexplored territory, following our instincts and passions wherever they might lead us. It's only when we look back that we see a path, and it's only there because we blazed it. After his success with Mickey Mouse, Walt Disney's next huge hit was a cartoon short of The Three Little Pigs, which became a national phenomenon in 1933. It was billed above the main feature on most theater marquees. Its hit song, Who's Afraid of the Big Bad Wolf, became a Depression-era anthem. Disney's film distributor, United Artists, urged him to cash in on the success of The Three Little Pigs with other pig-related cartoons. He resisted at first, but was finally persuaded by his brother, Roy. None of the three follow-ups, The Big Bad Wolf, Three Little Wolves, and The Practical Pig, succeeded like the original, leading Walt Disney to conclude, "You can't top pigs with pigs." Once Disney realized that you cannot repeat your successes in the entertainment business, he was free to push the envelope with his first full-length animated feature, the classic Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Finally, and most profoundly, there is failure that comes from denial. Creating anything new and fresh is a brazen, presumptuous act. You're assuming that the world cares about what you have to say. You can't afford to be paralyzed by the familiar fears of, what if no one shows up? What if no one likes it? What if I don't measure up? What if they laugh? So you become adept at slipping into denial mode. Anything less and you might never get out of bed in the morning. But the same mechanism that protects you from your worst fears can blind you to reality. Denial becomes a liability when you see that something is not working and you refuse to deal with it. You tell yourself, I'll fix it later, or you convince yourself that you can get away with it, that your audience won't notice the weak